Everybody who knew Jim, I mean really knew him, had a keen mental picture of him kneeling at his mother's grave. Nobody actually heard what was said there, yet he sometimes confided it to friends, and his friends to one another. At first, Jim would just kneel there at his mother's grave, weeping, and then he would cry out, beseeching, Mother, why did you leave me? And then he would say, Mother, I hate you for leaving me. And after that, he would simply say, Mother, I hate you. So I suppose you could say, as many did repeat, that Jim hated his mother. And yet, if that was so, the circumstances of his hatred require elaboration. That's the way it was with Jim. Practically everything about him needed further explanation. Oh, yes, there was something else, he told his mother that terrible day. He said, Mother, I promise I'll be somebody. Well, this is the rest of the story. Since early childhood, Jim was handicapped by extremely poor eyesight. Anything farther than 4 feet away was barely distinguishable. Growing up on the farm, he had this motorized bicycle. It was not a motorcycle now, just a dinky little thing called a whizzer. But you could get up enough speed to have some fun and even do some tricks with it. And everybody was always telling him, Jim, you can't see well enough to be pulling those stunts. But somehow, he managed to avoid killing himself. His profound nearsightedness produced another ill consequence, however, foremost of which was that friends would walk right up to him and he would walk right by them. Yes, they knew he was half blind, but he seemed so together otherwise that people still held him responsible. He'd be sitting hunched over a cup of coffee at some drugstore counter. An acquaintance would come up to him. Jim would appear to turn and look right at him, but then turn away without a word. There was one time that Jim was having lunch in a cafeteria with a couple of his buddies, and a third walked over, and this third person sat down, completely unnoticed by Jim. Once again, the third friend thought he was getting the cold shoulder, until at last he spoke up, and Jim looked up and exclaimed, Dick, is that you? And that is how Jim went through life, all his life, turning people off unintentionally. Yet for all of those he upset, he attracted a great many more. For strangely enough, that nearsighted squint gave Jim a certain intense, I guess you could say mysterious look, and it encouraged something else, a vivid imagination. He said, I have to imagine what's happening in front of me. He said it as a complaint, but it was an explanation to his friends. As time went on, Jim began to realize his worst enemy, nearsightedness, was probably also one of his best friends, because Jim had promised his mother that he would be somebody, and he did make good on that promise, and he did it in a profession that not only demands imagination, but demands the ability to eliminate distractions. And when he was not wearing those heavy horn rims with Coke bottle lenses, there was very little in the world that could distract Jim. Now, you will think of all of this again sometime soon. Maybe you'll be flipping television channels from one late movie to the next. Because you're going to stop when you see this smallish, slender, intense-looking young actor, and you're going to say to yourself, my goodness, he was nearsighted. That was the thing about James Dean. For now you know the rest of the story.